Talking today with Michael Kelsey of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Michael, let's talk a little bit about, first of all, the end of the legislative session, of course, behind us now. We've let the dust settle. And, you know, as you reflect back, everybody was talking, obviously, about the budget shortfall, the way the process worked at the very end of the session, a lot of fingers being pointed, a lot of people very upset about educational shortfalls, all of these kind of things. But still, for the cattle industry and for agriculture, not too bad of a session.
Agreed. And it's unfortunate that this session, as you mentioned, will kind of be overshadowed by the last 2 weeks and all of the nastiness, if you will, regarding that. But again, if you drill down a little deeper and look at, especially from a cattle industry perspective, we think we had a pretty good session. We passed a cattle theft bill that we updated the cattle theft laws. It looks at the retribution or the fine portion as well as the penalty portion and updated that. We think we made some good moves there. We need to do some more, to be quite frank, but this was a good step in the right direction. Prescribed fire was a very important bill as well. Mr. Wallace carried that bill and just did a great job there. And that bill looks at using prescribed fire during a burn ban. And it really defines what a burn ban is and then sets up that if you go through the steps of having a prescribed fire plan, then there may be an opportunity for you to do that even during a burn ban. And that's very important considering the wildfire damage we've seen, the red cedar, the overgrowth of red cedar, and so forth. So that was a very good positive. We saw water as a compelling state interest. We set that language, codified it in state law. We think that helps us with right to farm. We've all along said that water is a compelling state interest. Now we have law that says that. So that should really sweep that off the table, if you will, and kind of make it a non-issue regarding right to farm. Even in feral swine, and feral swine was, again, this session, we spent way more time on this bill or this issue than we needed to. The House spent an hour and 45 minutes on feral swine. Didn't need to do that, but they did. The bill was vetoed, one of the five that the governor vetoed. She didn't veto very many bills this session. But then, even doing so, she set up a general executive order that, in our opinion, moves us forward in feral swine development. And what I mean by that is if you look at where we were from a policy standpoint before the session began and where we are now, we've made progress forward, even through this general executive order. Would we have liked to have seen the bill? Certainly, our policy supported that, but it's always good to move forward. And with that general executive order, we think we can do that. So again,
now, are we closer to individual landowners being able to eliminate hogs on their property?
It's a great question, and I think the answer to that is yes. And doing so in a function that recognizes several different entities. And what do I mean by that? One of the big holdups during that bill was public land. I think we've moved that off the discussion so we can now have the discussion without the public land concept, which is very important, interfering with this. But then also recognizing that Wildlife Commission does have a place at the table, specifically during deer season. We've got a lot of members that use deer season as an economic input into their ranches, and so they want to be able to protect that appropriately. Again, how that works into this is very important, and they need a place at the table in order for us to move forward. We want to get rid of feral swine. I don't think anybody argues with that, but we need to do so recognizing what policy we currently have and then recognizing that landowners need the ability to do that appropriately moving forward.
I guess what the proof is still is in the pudding as far as how everything is finalized in the next couple of months on that.
Yeah, and it needs to be finalized soon because November, there is it's a quasi-emergency clause, if you will, on that executive order. It's not really called an emergency clause, but the governor's office put a deadline on that executive order, and it's in November. And so we've got to move forward very quickly. We've already been in communication with the parties that are involved, both agriculture as well as wildlife, and the governor's office, the legislature, to start formulating how that's going to look and what that's going to look like. Again, recognizing private landowners and their ability to control swine and to do so in an environment that's not a vacuum. There are a lot of different partners and players that we need to work with.
On one other thing, on legislative activities, played defense successfully on sales tax.
Yeah, this is a big win for us, in our opinion. We kept the sales tax exemption for agriculture, and all of agriculture worked on that very, very hard. We saw that manifested in the biggest form, if you will, in terms of the idea to eliminate the sales tax exemption on the sale of horses, equine sales. That affects our members directly. We have a lot of members that raise horses, quarter horses, etc. So we went to work along with the Racehorse Commission, as well as the Quarter Horse Association, some of our friends in that industry, as well as agriculture, to defend that, defeat it. That thing raised its head three times during the session, two probably the most visible, but there was another time it kind of snuck in. We started the session off early with this huge budget deficit. We saw the, in terms of the revenue, we saw a list of potential revenue sources. Pretty high on that list was elimination of the agricultural sales tax exemption completely. Another one that was high on that list is eliminating the sales tax exemption on livestock purchased outside of Oklahoma. Well, both of those are bad. We geared in on the latter very quickly because we import a lot of cattle into Oklahoma, especially from the southeast, mm-hmm. for wheat pasture and so forth. I mean, Oklahoma City Stockyards is still the largest feeder cattle market in the world. And so we still wanted to protect that. So we pushed that off the table pretty quick, and then we had to continue to defend that ag sales tax exemption. It's very important we do that. Now, I think it's real important that we understand that that's not a battle that was that took place and was won this session, and we don't have to worry about it anymore. We're already starting out the next legislative session with $600 to $700 million budget deficit. We can just count on the fact that that sales tax exemption will continue to stay on the table. We'll have to be vigilant to defend against it again.